want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Pete Bomer from the Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace, and I teach political economy at Evergreen, and I've been a resident of Olympia for 20 years and helped raise four kids here. And I was asked to talk about kind of more some causes of poverty and homelessness and solutions, so I'm going to talk about both of those. The anti-homeless, anti-sidewalk ordinances passed last week are one more pinprick in the war against the poor, against homeless people and street people. It's part of the ongoing attempt to criminalize the poor rather than determine causes and solutions to poverty, to racism, to homophobia, to lack of affordable housing, and the lack of meaningful work and livable wages in Olympia and beyond. The city government in Olympia, and also unfortunately many of its residents, just like in San Francisco, in Santa Cruz, and in Seattle, are very liberal for the most part when it comes to opposing Bush and the war in Iraq, to denouncing the Nazis like when I came here last year, and to preaching tolerance. The city council in Olympia has continually preached tolerance. Who can be against that? But unfortunately, this preaching of tolerance and, quote, being liberal often does not extend to poor people in here. It does not extend to poor people. It does not extend to doing what's necessary to end poverty and homelessness in Olympia. The city council, with a few exceptions like T.J. Johnson, represent the homeowners and the business owners of Olympia, not those with the least power and resources. We need to make it clear by our words and actions that we want a city council, a school board, county commissioners, and other elected officials that put the needs of the poorest first. We need to say loud and clear, not in our name, to what's going on today. It is important to oppose and stop the war in Iraq, to call for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney and a lot of other war criminals. But we must also connect the war in Iraq to the war at home, to the cutbacks in public housing that Rob spoke about so eloquently, the decline of college scholarships, the ending of welfare, the decline in wages and affordable health care. Rob talked about the declines of public housing. I would have one maybe slight modification. The main public housing program in the United States today, which unfortunately is growing like mad, are the prisons and jails. The latest number officially is 2.2 million people locked up, the majority of whom are black and other people of color, the overwhelming majority of whom are poor. That the U.S. locks up millions and that housing is not affordable to millions more is shameful, and I think we can change it in Olympia and beyond. The causes of poverty and ending poverty, they're really not that difficult to figure out. Whether homelessness ends depends partly on what each one of us does in ways big and small. Let us reflect on this and act on this as the Christmas season approaches. Let me briefly mention, it's already been mentioned by other speakers, I think I'll do it slightly differently, some of the causes of poverty and homelessness as a way of figuring out solutions. We're living in a society where there's a one-sided class war going on by the wealthy against the rest of us, with poor people in Olympia and throughout the world often being scapegoats. This has been going on all over the world. Sometimes it's called globalization, other times neoliberalism. Multinational corporations move production and their money all over the world, seeking the highest profits. The Walmart model of, you know, good business becomes generalized. The race to the bottom, as corporations demand lower wages, lower taxes, and less government spending, except, of course, for the police and military and prisons, and less environmental regulations. So wages are falling for the great majority of people in the United States. This would already make housing less affordable. Add in that housing is more and more becoming, for people who have money, not a place to live in, but something to speculate in, to play with, like people play with Monopoly and the racetrack and the stock market, to buy and sell housing with the hope of making money. It's becoming a speculative investment, which, you know, has been booming for the people who have it. Of course, it can also collapse. So you have housing prices skyrocketing. The price of housing in the United States over the last 25 years, as well as the house for renting, the price for renting has gone up many, many times more than the inflation rate and many, many times more than wages. Yeah. basically triple the housing prices have gone up three times as fast as wages or prices have gone up. When you add in the cutbacks in public money for building public housing and for programs such as Section 8 for housing subsidies, we can see what's the result: the growth of homelessness. Wages going down, housing prices going up, less public support for housing. And not only housing price, but also price for heating, less and less support for heating costs, for electricity, all those prices have also gone up far more than the general rate of inflation or wages. This, of course, causes not just homelessness, but far more stress in lower-income families. The decreasing public support for families, longer hours people have to work, at declining wages just to pay for the rent and other necessities contributes to less healthy home life. You know, I would just add in to Rosalind, but you were talking about the kind of economic stresses, right, that also add into all the important things that Rosalind was saying that leads to youth ending up on the streets. Also contributing, of course, is the way those in power, once they get people to fight for them from Vietnam to Iraq, kind of discard them. And, you know, the number of veterans is also disproportionate who are among the homeless. Many end up on the streets. So on a basic level, people are homeless because they do not have the income to afford their own place. Everybody mentioned the decline of income in so many jobs, the lack of public resources, and the growing cost of housing is why, from my estimates, probably 2 million people are homeless. Almost 40 million are officially poor. And another 80 million people, basically 40% of the country, who someone in the family lost a job would very quickly lose their apartment, their house, whether they own a house or rent, would very quickly be on the street. So we're talking about over 100 million people who are, at the very least, are very vulnerable. So what's the solution to all this? I don't think it's so complicated. Make quality housing affordable for all. In Olympia, I would say overturning these really, disgusting ordinances that were passed last week and many other ones Pat was talking about is necessary but not sufficient. Let us demand from the city, from the county commissioners, from the state and nation that they put into practice the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which says that housing is a fundamental human right. Let's push, for example, for rent control and also to increase the supply of affordable housing by building public housing. Housing that's designed and run by the people who will live there. So let's build more housing that's affordable for people, and let's also have rent control so we have both increased supply and affordable housing. Let the city council, the county commissioners, put some money into this, and rather than spending time on criminalizing the poor, let them strategically working to get some state and federal money to make housing affordable. Let's work together to reduce the prison and jail population and use the money that locks people up to have built housing without bars rather than building housing with bars. They, the government, and we should end the war in Iraq. You know, it's immoral, it's illegal, and because the money being spent in Iraq and by $500 billion a year being spent on the military should be spent at home here as well for reparations to the Iraqi people. Let us connect more the peace and economic justice movements. Let us connect those movements a lot more than we have. We need to reach out to the residents of Olympia, many of whom fear street people downtown because they look a little different, or maybe because they weren't here 20 years ago. Even though Pat pointed out, you know, Olympia's not quite a dangerous, very dangerous city, second or third safest city in the country. And I think people's fears are real, but so is the objective reality. We need to reach out to discuss that. Maybe the downtown businesses, the ODA, should perhaps target and fight the Walmarts, which are the real threat to the business downtown if their sales are declining, rather than scapegoating people who hang out downtown who don't have a lot of discretionary income. Personally, I think in Olympia and the U.S. that's more diverse ethnically, culturally, that welcomes immigrants and also sees a community, our responsibility, and the government responsibility that everybody has basic housing, health care, food, and education is a much more interesting community than this kind of mythical 1950s Olympia that, or one today that tries to solve homelessness by forcing everybody out who doesn't have enough money to own their own home. We need to do outreach to build a movement of poor and working class and middle-income people that sees our common interest for an affordable Olympia who puts the needs of those with the least resources first. Maybe the outreach, over the referendum that was mentioned that would overturn these reactionary laws could be one step in making this dialogue happen. To what you were saying, Rosalind, of reaching out beyond the people in this room and building a movement that crosses some of the class divisions in Olympia. I believe that the majority of people in Olympia are capable of empathy and solidarity for all people. We need to reach out to people here so that to build this kind of cross-class movement. This will force the city council, the legislatures, the Brian Bairds, and the Maria Cantwells and Patty Murrays to either stop serving the privilege or get voted out. This movement of all people who are being harmed by this inhumane and immoral and environmentally unsustainable economic system can make another world possible. Let's not wait for the politicians to act, but let us act ourselves in a committed way, in a strategic way, in a bold way. For example, if this law goes into effect, maybe we should all sit down and violate the law together. And I don't think they can put all of us in jail. They don't have the room for it. So let's make that law unenforceable. Let's really put into practice an injury to one is an injury to all. We need to think big. I think one of the saddest things over the last 25 years, from the beginning from the Reagan period up to Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, is we tend to think very small. We tend to think very defensively. We tend to just ask for crumbs in a system where the rich are, getting BMWs, and we're asking for crumbs. If we think big and demand big, we at least have a chance of making a significant difference. All over Latin America, people are rising up against neoliberalism and the idea that there's no alternative. Check out the struggles in Oaxaca and Chiapas in Mexico, the recent elections in Ecuador, in Venezuela, where I think people are saying enough of this growing inequality, enough of criminalizing people because they don't have the wealth to buy the politicians. So in closing, let me talk about short-run reforms and maybe more radical or revolutionary change. So in the short run, I think we need to defend ourselves, defend all people in Olympia against attacks on poor people. So we need to stop these ordinances. I think that's necessary, okay? In terms of reform, I think we also need to think about reform to open up shelters in the winter, to demand affordable housing be built, for rent control and for living wage jobs. And we need the movements to make this happen. Me saying this, you saying this, is not going to make this happen. We need to work on community centers, to have community centers by and for poor people of all ages. We need to fight the war abroad as well as the war at home. I'm a member of the Olympian Movement for Justice and Peace that's helped put this on, and we always talk about justice before peace. And I think that's really important. If you want peace, you got to work for justice. So I think we need to work for those reforms, all of which are really necessary and make a difference. But I also think we need to combine our work reform for a vision of another society. The word maybe in the period I've got, we called it revolution. I still think that's a very noble word. And we shouldn't shy away from it. But I think we need a long run society to work for society that's built, that puts people before profits, that's built on meeting people's need, not greed, that gets rid of the profit system and all the isms, sexism, racism, heterosexism, where work is meaningful and we really build community and solidarity across borders. I think to do this, we need to unite the many against the few. Affordable and quality housing for all is possible. Living wage jobs are possible. Another world is possible. Demand the impossible. Thank you.